May his love be with you, his peace, his presence, now and always. A portion of the Bible that I will use for this service in honor of the living. It's found, as Professor Reining read, I would repeat, however, the one verse, the words of Christ. Chapter 11, the 25th verse, and Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. It was about 2,000 years ago when it took place. Jesus and his 12 disciples were walking in Perea. It was about the time in Palestine, the early spring rains, and they were cold and chilling. It was about the time when the yellow crocus were fighting in the blackness of night for life and daylight. The time when the little children would take the unripened fig buds and bite them, and the bitterness would surprise them. It was this time when a messenger came to Christ and his 12 disciples and handed the note, which was a little prayer. Jesus stopped, and of course he was omniscient, the Son of God. He knew what it said. But he stood there perhaps and read it to them, the handwriting of a woman. Lord, he whom you love is dead. Excuse me, he whom you love is sick. But Jesus knew, of course, that the note should have said he is dead, because at that time Lazarus was. He whom you love is sick. It was a plea to come and to heal him from Mary and Martha. Death. Already in Bethany. Already in Bethany, the Jewish custom had begun. The 30 days of sorrow. The 3 days of crying. The 3 days of weeping. The 7 days of lamentation. And 20 days of mourning. And is that all that death is? I tell you, it is to many people. That's all that death is grief and shock. Is it only desolation? Is death only the end of life? Is it only the darkness in the soul of the people who see that one and know there is no more? Go out to the graveyard and you will see that to most people, death is only the raindrops falling on the last shovel full of dirt as it falls upon that casket that's being lowered into the ground. But thank God that is not the meaning of death for us, nor was it for Rick who lives. Let me tell you that when the early Christians celebrated death, it was like people coming together for a great feast of celebration. And for us, to know the true meaning of death is the most beautiful thing in the world. And Almighty God, on this day, I pray for us. I pray for the good wife, children, sisters, brother, and parents. And I ask that we truly follow Christ and again tell ourselves, and we hold fast to it, the true meaning of death. As Mary and Martha learned that day, Bethany, bless this word which you have commanded to be preached. Jesus took the little prayer note, he whom you love is sick, and he did not go to Bethany. In fact, it would be 4 days that Lazarus would be dead before he would return. And I wonder what the people were thinking. Is Jesus indifferent to this prayer? Does Jesus have no sympathy for Mary and Martha? Does not he care? Is he not a caring Jesus Christ? For we know that Jesus Christ is never indifferent, and we know that Jesus Christ always loves and always cares. But we know something too about prayer. They might have thought this little prayer note was unanswered. I tell you, as you know from the Bible, that Jesus always answers prayer. But it's his will. And as difficult as that is to accept, it must be his way. Because everything that happens to a Christian must first pass in review before the eyes of God. And a verse that gives us the comfort we need is in Romans 8:28. I am convinced that all things work together for good to them who love God. That's the verse you've been turning to. I know that. I fully trust that all things, not only happiness, not only joy, but tears and trials and sorrow, work together for good in a way we don't understand, in a way we can't explain. Work together for good to them who love God. To them who love God, he's saying, unto you, I promise everything will turn out all right. That way you can stand before God, and we all have to do that, and maybe some of us have already, and we've had to say, Thy will be done. I believe that God is right and has always been right in my life. I believe that God is right in the way He acts. I believe that God is right in what He allows. I believe it is my duty to stand before God in silence and let Him speak. You see, I have a God of love, not a God of revenge, a God of love. And I will never grow weary of following Him, because God, Your will must be done. Jesus and the 12 walked to Bethany. 4 days. And Martha came rushing up, and she said, Lord, if You would have been here, my brother would not have died. I believe that's a rebuke. Mary came up and fell down before Him, and she said, Lord, if You would have been here, my brother would not have died. I can't blame them for the loss. The mourning of the loss, I can't blame them, because we mourn for Rick. All of us mourn for Rick. But we do not mourn, because death is the end of life. We miss Him, we have a loss, but we know where He's at. And I dare to say, in a bold, confident faith, that He is alive. How can that be? In the presence of God, we are sinners, He was, we are. But He knew something that we know, and that we are dedicating our lives to, most of us. That though we are sinners, we have a Savior. It's a terrible thing, sin. Everything it touches, it destroys. Sin touches food, and there's gluttony, and sin touches clothing, and there's extravagance. Sin touches the lips, and we slander, or maybe even curse. Sin touches the eyes, and we're greedy, or we lust. Sin touches the heart, and we're capable of anything. But we know something else, don't we? And that we're going to preach. God so loved the world. Give me that beautiful, simple verse. God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes will not perish, but have life everlasting. And you know, the mother and parents heard Him preach that gospel. And the wife heard Him preach that gospel. He believed that gospel, and He never changed it, and we will never change it, though people have, because it didn't say, God so loved the world that whosoever is sincere in whatsoever he or she believes will not perish. It didn't say that. Rick never preached that for a year in Kirkland Lake. Nor did he preach God so loved the world that whosoever tries to live a good life will not perish. And he certainly didn't preach and believe God so loved the world that everyone will be saved. He preached whosoever believes will not perish. Whosoever believes that for the sake of that one divine man, Jesus Christ, God will forgive us. For the sake of that one divine man, Jesus Christ, He went to the cross, not as our example, but as our substitute. And His blood, yea, a half a drop, cleanseth us from all our sins. And that's why we know that death is not the end of life for Rick or those who believe. It's going home to God and with Him. And He walked past Mary and Martha, according to this narrative in John. And He walked to this tomb. And He said, take away the stone. They said, we can't take away the stone from the cave, which is a grave. He's been dead for 4 days. Could He raise the dead? Do you believe in an inerrant Bible that tells you that in the moment of the creation of Adam, in the moment of the creation of Rick and all of us, not only the Almighty God, but Christ is there. And through His power today, our hearts beat 25,000 times. Our lungs rise and fall. We have 180 red corpuscles. We have 3 billion nerve cells. It's this power of God that gave Rick life. It could give Lazarus life. Take away the stone. Do you know something that I'm going to have to ask when I go to heaven? Lord, who rolled away the stone? Was it somebody who wanted to trick you, or was it some person with a great faith? And He rolled away the stone, or she did. And He stood in front of that tomb, and He said, Lazarus, come forth. One loud command into the tomb, in the silence of the sleeping. Lazarus, come forth. One flash of God's own divine light into the darkness of death. The wheels of life begin to move. and a body that was wrapped in fine linen and soaked in rose water and rose oil begin to move. And there must have been the sound of the rushing of angels' wings, and there must have been the singing of a thousand larks, because Lazarus came out upright of that grave and stood. And surely he stood there shuddering and then quiet in the cold light of Earth's day. And then Mary and Martha and all the people of Bethany knew that Jesus was right when he said, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he die, yet shall he live. And surely David was right when he said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And certainly Paul was right. To live is Christ, to die is gain. O death, where is your sting? O grave, where is your victory? I have fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, and henceforth for me a crown of righteousness. And Christ was right. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, and I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may also be. That's where Rick's at, with him in the Father's mansions. He is alive. He lives with God. I would close with something very personal that I would like to share with the professors and the student body that I have already written, and I know they have read this. When I was told that this beloved son of this seminary had departed, I dared to do something I never do. Like Job, I questioned God. And I was sitting in my little office surrounded by books, and I said, God, why? Because Rick had it all. He was even writing an MDiv thesis on how he could preach the gospel, how it would be more effective. This MDiv thesis would show the people, the youth, because he was a Christian of Christian education, how the youth could spread the gospel in the Bible classes more, and in the youth programs more, in the schools more. I said, God, how and why did you take him? I said, he has it all. He has intelligence, and he has faith, and a wife, and children, and two sisters, and a brother, and parents. And he has his whole life ahead of him. He has it all. Why? As I wrote that note to them, then I knew I was wrong. Because he did have it all but one thing. And the one thing that he did not have was paradise. And now he has it all. And now he has it all. Amen.